Baptist Church. He's had the COVID. About 3 days ago, they moved him into the unit and put him on a ventilator. His name is White. I know his first name, but it escapes me right now. But I want you to pray for him. And I know God is all powerful. In fact, the Bible calls him the healer, you know. And he's able to touch and he's able to heal. And he can bring us from the very door of death, you know, to a very wonderful and healthy life. And so we just pray God's blessings upon him. I want to invite your attention today to just one verse of Scripture to begin with. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, the verse reads like this: Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. Now that's my short lesson for today. And I want to use as my subject, a new day in the old paths. Or a new year. A new year in the old paths. And I do feel the need of the help of God. Anytime that you stand to preach, you know, I consider the Bible to be God's eternal word. I don't believe that it is the opinions of the writers. I believe that it is the divine will of God. As it has been recorded, as they moved, they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. And they wrote the will of God for all of us. God called Jeremiah. You know, of course, all of you know the story of Jeremiah, I'm sure. The Lord told him, Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. God had a purpose for Jeremiah. I want to say God has a purpose for every one of you. He has a purpose for me. And he had a purpose for Jeremiah. And he said, Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God called him to be a prophet. A prophet was a very important person in Old Testament days. God spoke through them to the people. And in this lesson that I read in your hearing, I want to read it again. These people were a very rebellious people. In verse 23 of chapter 5, this is what it said concerning them. But this people has a revolting and a rebellious heart. They revolted against God, raised up against God. And they were rebellious. They rebelled. They did not obey. And they were very, very rebellious. And God called Jeremiah and he said, I want you to go to declare to the house of Jacob and publish this message in Judea. Of course, the house of Jacob had reference to the children of Israel, the house of Jacob. And Judah had reference to one tribe in particular, which was Judah. And this was the message God told him to say. I'm reading again. I'm in the fifth chapter of Jeremiah, verse 21. Hear now this. He said, Are you listening? This is a message from God. I want you to hear this. Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, and have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me? Don't you fear me? God says. Will ye not tremble at my presence? You know, that's one of the problems with the world today is I think there's no fear of God before their eyes. But God is a God to be feared. You say, well, I thought God was a God of love. He is, and that's why you need to fear Him. A God, He is a God of love. That's one of His attributes. But He has many other attributes as well. And they all have to be taken into account. So He went to the tribe of Judah, and He said to them, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, ways in the plural, stand ye in the ways. Now we could leave Bowling Green, and you know there are many ways out of the city of Bowling Green. There are many roads that go in different directions, and those roads will take you to different places, you know. So He said, you stand in the ways and see, and you ask for the good way. The good way, He said. Ask for the good way. The old paths. I got that reversed. But He said, you ask for the old paths. Wherein is the good way? In other words, the good way is the old way. And He said, walk therein, and ye shall find rest to your souls. I believe there's just one way to the pearly gates. There's just one way to find salvation. It is the way that is the old way. How old is it? I don't know. Before the world was ever created, the plan of salvation was made. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He volunteered to come to this world and to pay the ransom for the souls of sinful men. There had never at that time been a soul or a man created. But you can see the goodness of God in providing a plan of salvation even before there was a man. He provided a way. How did He do that? Based upon His foreknowledge. God knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. And so based upon His foreknowledge, He provided a plan of salvation that would be available and within reach of every person. And it is the old way. It is the old path. If you want to find rest for your soul, there's only one way to do it. Now, you can find rest for your body. You might even find rest for your mind. And, you know, a lot of different things can be obtained in different ways. But salvation cannot be obtained in different ways. There's only one way. It is the old way. It is the good way. And it is the only way whereby you can obtain rest for your soul. Jesus said in the 11th chapter of Matthew, it's down toward the near the end of the chapter. I'm not sure about the verse. But He said this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And he said, and you will find rest for your souls by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and coming in the way that he has specified will bring rest to a troubled soul. And so I want you to think about this with me for a little while. You know, a man that's born of woman is few days and full of trouble. We know that. We've all experienced different kinds of trouble in our lifetime. Some of the troubles for many of us have been physical. Some of them have been emotional problems. Some of them maybe have been family problems. There are all kinds of problems. But the greatest problem that we've ever had is the problem of not being right with God. God has provided where we can find rest for our souls. And I want you to think about this. Man that's born of woman is few days full of trouble. We don't know how long life is. For some, it's a short lifespan. For others, it is a long lifespan. But we don't know. But we do know this, that we're all going to die. The Bible said it's appointed unto men once to die. And after death, the judgment. So we're all going to die. I don't have to spend a lot of time to prove that to this congregation, I know. All you have to do is look out the window here. And there's evidence out there that generation after generation after generation have lived and died. And you and I are going to die also. And so our days are short. The Bible says that there, man's, what is your life? It is even as a vapor. It appeareth for a little while and then it vanishes away. That expression, here today and gone tomorrow, is a very true expression. And everyone needs to give some serious consideration to being ready to go. And the method by which you can become ready to go. It is the old path. It is the way that God ordained before he ever created the world. Now it was a long period of time before the Lord Jesus made his appearance on the earth. But the Bible said that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. If God makes a promise, he will fulfill it. He will bring it to pass. And when the fullness of time was come, God brought forth his Son. Galatians chapter 4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth. Sent. S-E-N-T. He sent Jesus from heaven. And he came to this world. God sent forth his Son. Made of a woman. Made under the law. That he might redeem them that were under the law, that we might obtain, I think I'm crossing two verses of scripture together, that we might, well, I'll just turn to it and read it. It won't take me that long. I know where it's at. It's Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. And this is what it says. When the fullness of time was come, that's when God's time was right, he sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive. It's a gift. It's a gift from God, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You see, from a natural standpoint, we're not the children of God. We each one have an earthly father and an earthly mother, and we are their children. And in addition to being their children, they passed on to us a sinful nature. We're born in sin. The Bible says that in sin did my mother conceive me. He was born as a sinner. And every one of us have that problem. And we need to be born again in order to go to heaven. We have to be born from above. And we have to be given eternal life. You can't earn it. There's only one way to receive it. The only one to get it. The only one way to get it. And that's to come to God, and He will give it to you. It is, let me read this again. And because he was made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. When we're born again by the Spirit of God, we are adopted into the family of God. We become children of God by the new birth experience. And the Holy Spirit of God works that work in our hearts. And let me get back over here just for a minute. You know, the Lord Jesus, I'm talking about the many paths, you know. From a religious standpoint today, you know, there are many ways of being advocated as a means to get right with God. But I'm affirming today there's just one way. And that way is by and through the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And so I want you to just listen to me for a few minutes, and I'll try not to be too awful long. I said there are many ways, and the Bible says that there is a way that seemeth right unto man. And you know, you could come to this conclusion, I suppose. You know, one way is just as good as another, you know. No, it's not. It is not. There's only one way that leads to life. Only one way that leads to life. And the Bible even says that every man's ways are right in his own eyes. You cannot make your own way to be saved. Nobody else can provide a way for you to be saved. Only God provided a way for us to be saved. Now, you know, we know that death is the cessation of physical life. But it is not the cessation of spiritual life. Now, every one of us have an eternal spirit. We not only have a body of flesh, but there is an inward man. It is a spiritual being. He is a spiritual being. And the spirit of man will live eternally somewhere. It will live either with God in glory, provided it has been saved, or it will provide in the region of the damned, where the Bible calls hell. And Jesus said in His own language. You've heard me say this before. I like the red letter edition of the Bible, you know. They are no more true. The red letters are no more true than the black letters. But they're easier to find. And you know, Jesus the things that he spoke while he was here on the earth from his own mouth. They are recorded in red in the red letter editions of the Bible. Makes them easy to see. You know, and Jesus, he believed and knew about hell. Jesus, you know, there was no question about in the mind of the Lord Jesus as to whether there was a hell or not. He knew there was a hell. In fact, he said in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, I believe it's in the 28th verse, and I may have to turn and read that as well. I want you to understand it. It's really important. In the 28th verse, he said, "Fear not them that are able to kill the body." Now, I don't want to get, you know, shot down. I don't want to get blowed up. You know, I have a healthy respect for a weapon, you know. And so I don't want to be killed by anybody. But there's something worse than being killed by a man. And that is, he said, "Fear not them that are able to kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul." I told you that soul lives. You can't kill the soul. You can kill the body, but you can't kill the soul. The soul's going to continue to live. And he said, "But rather, fear him which is able, has the ability, to destroy both soul and body in hell." Destroy the soul and the body in hell. Now, those are the words of Jesus. And Jesus knew what he was talking about. And so, I want you to get the thought that I'm trying to present to you here today. The body dies, and it goes back to dust. But the soul, there are two eternal destinations. Two eternal destinations. One of them is heaven above. I believe in heaven. You believe in heaven? Why wouldn't we believe in heaven? The only begotten Son of God tells us about heaven. He said, "In my Father's house." You know, heaven is where God lives. It's God's house. It's where God's children go when they die. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. No cabins in the corner of glory land, folks." I appreciate the thought of the songwriter. What he was saying was, "I'm not worthy of a mansion. Just build me a cabin in the corner of glory." But there's no cabins in the corner of glory land. "In my Father's house are many mansions." Jesus said, "If it wasn't so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a special place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again. And I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So, one of the eternal destinations is heaven. You can go to heaven if you've been saved. The other eternal destination is hell. And hell is the abode of the unsaved. And we know this is true. We know this is true. The old path, the good way, it'll lead to heaven. But any other path will lead to hell. Just one way. You know, Jesus, in his teachings, he set forth this explanation to help us to understand this. He said, that there was a certain rich man. And this certain rich man died. And he was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, plural. He lift up his eyes in torment. And he begged. He said, he knew Lazarus. He knew the poor man, the other man. He knew him. That man sat at his gate and begged for crumbs. He was a sick man. He had sores from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. He couldn't go to the drugstore and get some medicine for that. The Bible even said that the dogs came and licked his sores. I suppose they provided some kind of comfort to him for the sores that was on his feet. But the rich man, he knew this beggar man. And the beggar man had, died. And he was carried by the angels. You know who the angels are? They are created spiritual beings that were created by God to be ministers to God's children. That's Hebrews chapter 1, the last verse, says that they are ministering spirits sent forth to be to serve those who are heirs of salvation, who have been given this wonderful gift of salvation. So those angels, when old Lazarus died, they gathered around him and they just lifted him up off of this old earth, and they just soared through the heavens to God's dwelling place. And so the rich man, the man that was not saved, he could see him up there. And he was reclining, resting in Abraham's bosom. You see, the poor man, he had suffered much. But now he was being comforted. And the rich man, who had fared sumptuously every day and enjoyed everything on this earth, was being tormented. Now that's the difference between the two destinations, folks. I'm just trying to be honest, and I'm just trying to tell you what the Bible says. You know, there's only two eternal destinations. One of them is heaven, where Jesus is. And the other one is hell, that was not prepared for man. The plan of salvation was prepared for man. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. But if sinners don't repent and get right with God, there's no place else for them to go. They've followed the devil all their life, and now they've come to the end of the way. And there's nowhere else for them to go. And so they go to that eternal destination. Jesus, he taught this. Matthew chapter 7. He said, enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. See, there are just two places anybody can go when life is over. And there's just one way to get there. Go through the straight gate. Difficult. S-T-R-A-I-T. It don't mean a direct line, but it means difficult. Enter in at the straight gate, because it may be difficult, but I want to tell you it's worth it. It's worth it. You know, one of the things that is so disturbing and is so deceiving is that the many ways that exist, that are being told people that exist, you know, that it's so easy. It's easy. The way many practice today, you know, they used to practice the same way we do, the Bible way, you know. But in order to make it more acceptable and easier for people to make a profession, you see, they've altered the plan and they've made it a different way. You can't make the plan of salvation any easier than what it is. It is the reason it's difficult. It's not because the plan is difficult. It's because you and I have a problem that we have to deal with. You know what the problem is? Jesus taught this lesson. I want to share this with you. The 19th chapter of the book of Matthew. The rich young ruler that came to Jesus. His question was, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you know the commandments. Keep the commandments. He said, which ones? Well, Jesus said, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt honor your father and your mother, and so on. And he said, well, I've kept all of them. And Jesus said, well, you just lack one more thing. He said, you give up everything you've got. You just go sell everything you've got and give it to the poor and come follow me. But when he heard that, he was very sorrowful. He had a problem with that. And that's the way it is when we're lost and separated from God. We have a problem with giving up. We have a problem with giving our lives over to the Lord Jesus. And the Bible said he went away sorrowful. He didn't get what he was looking for. And he went away sorrowful. And then in the same chapter, Jesus said to his disciples, how hardly for a rich man to be saved. How hard it is for a rich man to be saved. And he said it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. What's the problem? The rich man don't want to give up his riches. He don't. And God don't require you to sell everything you had, you have, and give it away in order to be a Christian, to be saved. No, not at all. But he does expect that a sinner repent of his sins and put his faith and trust in Jesus and to give up his own ways and his own thoughts. You know, you can't figure out how to get saved. You can't figure it out. It is by grace. It is through faith. It is by trusting in Jesus and not depending on anything you possess or not depending on anything that you have done or that you might do. It's simply by asking God to forgive you of your sins and putting your faith and trust in Jesus. And that's the hard part. That is the hard part. But God will help you to do it, and he does. Nobody's ever been saved without the help of God. God's Holy Spirit convicts brings conviction, brings trouble, brings heartache, you know. And the Bible said this, and I'm going to be preaching too long if I don't move along. But this is what Psalms chapter 34 and verse 18 says. He said, if I can get it started, well, I'll look that up too. Psalms chapter 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh or near unto them that are of a broken heart. What would your heart be broken about? Because you lost money in the stock market? Well, I guess that'd cause you some worry, but that wouldn't bring you to Jesus. Your heart's broken. Listen, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and he saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Somebody wrote a song, when the heart is broken up with a bitter, woeful cup, that's the time to come to Christ all alone. And so Jesus, he taught that lesson in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, 19th chapter of the book of Matthew. Now listen to what he has to say about this. Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And his disciples heard that, and they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? You're making it so hard that nobody can get saved. That's what they were saying. But Jesus beheld them, and he said unto them, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And when the Holy Spirit convicts of sin and you see yourself lost, separated from God, on the road that leads to hell and death and destruction, and you get concerned about your soul and you want to get saved, and you begin calling on God, the Holy Spirit will enable you to forsake your sins and trust in Jesus. And he'll forgive you and save you. And folks, I believe that's the only way there is to be saved. I really believe that with all of my heart. I believe that heaven is, that hell is real. And I believe that heaven is real. Heaven and hell are real places. And you know, every one of us is going one place or the other. God don't determine which one you go to. You determine which one you go to. Whosoever will. Am I telling you the truth? Is that in red letters in the Bible? Is that the words of Jesus? Whosoever will, let him come. So that puts the responsibility on you. You seek the Lord. You can get saved. There is a way to be saved. It's not easy. It means you have to humble yourself. Lay aside your pride. It means you have to be willing to come to God and just come just as you are. You can't say, Lord, I deserve this. I've been a good boy, a good girl. I make good grades. I deserve this. No, you can't do that. You're just a sinner. A lost, condemned sinner in need of salvation. And you have to come to God that way. This, Lord, if you don't save me, I'll perish. You just have to lay it all aside, and you have to come God's way in order to be saved. And so, while this is impossible with men, it sure is not impossible with God. God can just speak peace to your troubled soul. Take the burden of sin away and give you peace and joy, you know, and you'll know that you've been saved. You know something happened. You know that trouble you was experiencing, it's gone. And this wonderful peace that passeth all understanding has come into my life. Yeah, I believe in a no-so salvation. And I believe in an everlasting salvation too. I believe it'll last from the moment you get it for all of eternity. Never end. That's what Jesus said. So I'm going to preach what Jesus says. I'm going to take Jesus' word, and I'm going to hold Jesus up as the only means of salvation for a lost and dying world. I'm going to close. On this New Year's Day, not New Year's Day, but this New Year's week, there might be somebody that feels like you need to seek the Lord and get saved. I know you need to, whether you feel it or not. I would love for you to come to Jesus. That's the good way where you'll find rest for your soul. That's a good way. You can seek the Lord. And you can pour out your heart to Him and ask for forgiveness. And the Bible says He's faithful and just to forgive us. He don't want anybody to go to torment. He wants everybody to be saved. But He won't force you to be. If you don't want to get saved, if you don't want to bow before the Lord, if you don't want to confess your sins to Him and ask for forgiveness, He won't make you do it. That's just not in the plan. You have to want it. You have to desire it. And if you desire it, He's faithful and just to forgive. I want to give you an opportunity today to come and pray. Start out this new year right. Get right with God, you know. Then whatever happens, we don't know what's going to happen, do we? My goodness, I never saw such a time in my life as we're facing right now. But whatever happens, if you're saved, you're going to live through it and go to heaven. If you don't get saved, you're still going to live through it. You're going to die and go to hell. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. I want to give you opportunity. There might be somebody here. You're already saved, you know, but you've never joined the church, never been baptized, you know, and you'd like to start out this new year right. I'd like to invite you to come. If you're a member of a sister church and the Lord has revealed to you this is a place where He wants you to serve Him and you'd like to move your membership here, why, you come. You come. And let's start out the new year right together this year. Let's stand together. You follow the Lord. Where He leads me, I'll follow. Will you do that? God bless you.
196. thank you for coming. Remember our announcements. You're always welcome at Fairview Memorial, whether you're a visitor, whether you're a member, whether you're a first-time visitor, or you've been here 100 times, it makes no difference. You're always welcome. We solicit the prayers from everyone who's present here today. Will you feel